Creative Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
All right, we are talking about the Presentation Summit. This is the unofficial PowerPoint gathering in the country. It is a phenomenal thing. This is the 17th Presentation Summit, and not only that, I have missed four of them. So it'll be my 13th time attending, and I'm proud to say I was an inaugural summit participant where I paid to attend. I virtually knew no one back then, but I did have an agenda for that time at a conference. If you work as a presentation designer, if you work as a speech coach, if you craft presentation storylines, if you have a key component of your job is data visualization, anything along those lines that involves presentation and the craft of presenting, I highly recommend you do attend this event. And you should have an agenda for when you attend. Two notes about this. First of all, Nolan, Sandy, and myself, we do not have an affiliation with the summit. So this is all out of a true recommendation, something we endorse personally. And second, we are joined by Rick Altman, the founder and director of the Presentation Summit, to talk all things Presentation Summit and hopefully get a few sneak peeks at this year's summit.
All of us know on the call know this, but Rick, I want to get started with the origin story of the summit. But before that, Nolan, how many times have you attended?
Oh boy. 10, 11. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but that sounds in the neighborhood.
2010. I think you were in Atlanta.
I don't think I was. but if I was in Atlanta, I'm sure it was off baseball season, because Rick, you always manage to schedule these just after baseball season closes, which means I usually, not always, but usually can't get to the local baseball stadium, which I like doing.
I'll have to work on that.
So, okay, let's say 9 or 10 or 11, somewhere in that.
Okay.
Sandy, how many times have you attended?
Well, I missed the very first one. I just wasn't certain. I don't know. It was kind of funny. I don't know why I missed it. Didn't go. And then I accidentally missed last year. So that would be 15 times.
Let's see here. I mentioned up front, I've officially been to 13. I actually think I've been to 14, Rick, because I showed up that one year when you're in San Diego and I flew in and kind of said hi to everybody. Yeah. I took a group to dinner because it was fun and then I headed out. But I think officially on the books, I think I have 13 stars. Well, I guess this year it'll be 14. And Rick, how many have you attended?
Well, I think I'm the only one left that hasn't missed any, other than Sheila, of course, who is the closest I have to an employee. And of the patrons, of the paying folks, I think I think Johanna Renvall has 15 stars on her badge. And Charles Cranford, I think, is at 15 also. So we have tremendous loyalty in the group. And I guess here's the rhetorical question I'd like to ask. How did the three of you meet one another?
Probably, this is a leading question, Rick.
Ding.
Probably at the summit.
It's at the summit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sandy, you were not a PowerPoint MVP. And Nolan, you were not a PowerPoint MVP when we first met.
That's right.
So yeah, Rick, the summit seems to be a gathering spot for a lot of people in the presentation industry.
Thank you, Rick.
I remember sitting at Troy's. Troy and Lori, did you present together? It seems like you did. I remember sitting at that my first year. I always tell people, I was a patron, and I always tell people that the summit paid for itself, my investment, in the first 10 minutes that I was at that event.
Warm with my heart.
Oh, it was just awesome. I seriously sat in there going, mind-blowing. So it was great.
Well, I was a patron the first couple of years, but I still get, you know, each year, even though I'm a speaker, I get tons out of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I go not just to speak, I go to learn lots of stuff.
Yeah, and that's one of our biggest challenges, as each year we attract about 60% first-timers. Of the other 40%, some of them have been coming year after year after year. And so how you sort of balance the content for these folks where, you know, you need to go over the core stuff for the first timers, but then, you know, how do you not bore out of their skulls the veterans? And what I'm gratified by is that the folks that have been coming year after year, you know, they're almost post-learning. I mean, they say, hey, if I pick up two or three things, that'll be great, but I'm really here for the networking. I'm here to see my peeps. So that challenge is mitigated a little bit by the fact that so many people just get into the spirit of the conference.
So let's jump back to Sandy's question on the origins. How did this come about?
How far back you want me to go? I wasn't good enough to play on the
professional. We can skip your bar mitzvah, but after that, how? Let's talk
about the conference. Rick, I do think you should probably give us like the 22nd. I did other conferences, and then you got to talk the Rinsberg story. Yeah. My opinion, because it's great. I know the story, Nolan, and it's just, it gets better every time Rick tells it too.
That's what I was hoping for.
Actually, it gets better every time Steve tells us what it really is.
Yeah, well, I was a dumb jock. I went into sports journalism, and then desktop publishing got invented, and that was just phenomenal. And so my conference career began there with the desktop publishing software, and then graphic design software. This is sort of pre Adobe. You know, this is the
Ventura Publishing.
Ventura Publisher, Corel Draw. But then that universe got really, really small. And we were holding this conference for, you know, 60, 70 people. And the fellow back then who ran my help center, as he does today, Steve Rinsberg, was saying to me, was watching the numbers dwindle, and he said, you know, you should be doing this for PowerPoint. And I said, who gives a crap about PowerPoint? What are you talking? I mean, it was only a year or two into my having used it. I was using Harvard Graphics, for heaven's sake, for, you know, to prepare visuals for the seminars I was leading back then. You know, I barely had heard of PowerPoint. And he just kept nudging me. I said, no, you really should. And then after we finally had allowed the sun to set on Corel World, I said, okay, I'll put my money where your mouth is. Let's do this. Because he had said that he has this whole group of friends. You know, the folks who were early adopters into the Microsoft MVP program. He says, well, you know, I can bring all these folks to you. And so during one of those MVP summits that you all know so well, I flew up to Seattle and crashed in Steve's hotel room, and all these folks that I hadn't yet known, you know, the Echo Swinfords and the Rick Brettschneiders of the world, we all met for dinner and we schmoozed about this idea of a conference for PowerPoint users. And that was 2002. And then 1 year later, 180 people showed up at a glorified Holiday Inn in Tucson, Arizona. And I thought, holy crap, I guess we've got something here.
The story gets better every time. There's a new detail.
Hey, Rick, so it's a business conference, obviously, but we always say that it's unlike a lot of other business conferences. So for people who haven't gone... Well, yes, in good ways. So for people who haven't gone, but, you know, have presumably gone to other business conferences, how do you describe it? You know, what kind of event is it? How is it different from your average business?
It's easy to see how people feel like the deck is stacked against them when they work in presentation. You know, there really is no formal training for storytelling or for message crafting. And that's hard to do. A very small minority of people who work in presentation would identify themselves as having any sort of formal background in the arts, and yet they are asked to design presentations often on a daily basis. just about everybody is undertrained in PowerPoint. One year we took a survey at the conference. We asked people how much time they spent learning the software. Oh, almost everybody said less than an hour. And when the whole world is scared to death to speak in public. So, you know, so again, it's no wonder that people think this is hard. I mean, those four tenets of the presentation experience, message crafting, presentation design, PowerPoint use, and then delivery, you know, there's going to be something that's going to give just about everybody the heebie-jeebies. As far as I know, we are the only learning conference in the world that tackles all four of these pillars of the presentation experience.
And I think, from a content perspective, I think that's a great description. I think from a tactical, just sort of, you know, hour by hour description, from my perspective, it's much smaller, I think, than a lot of conferences, or you like to say more intimate. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not 1,000 people in a huge ballroom where you know, can't ask a question.
Right. Technically speaking, we are a boutique conference. We cap attendance at 200.
Right. So it's incredibly intimate. You see people over and over. There is no way you cannot have an opportunity to talk to anybody else you want at any time, mm-hmm. You know, in a session or outside of a session, you're constantly involved. I think it's also a lot more social than a lot of conferences I've been to. In that every night there are events, there are parties, there's dinners. It's rare. There might be, you know, one night or so where it's like dinners on your own, but even then people form groups and go out. So from that perspective, it's just very friendly and very, you know, more open and more fun, I think, than conferences I've been to. Other ones.
Well, that's music to my ears. You know, we are not meeting planners. None of us has any formal background in that. And if you asked me to put together, you know, some blank world for some Fortune 100 company where 15,000 people were going to come, I would be deer in the headlights. But boy, do we know how to put on a small conference.
I agree.
And part of it is because the infrastructure is so small also. You know, if the folks that were on my the logistics team and all of you who present and work the help center and all of that, if you were all employees of mine, you know, you'd maybe stay for a year or two as you were on your way to, you know, other things in your career arc. But that's not the case. Everybody who works the conference has their own lives, their own careers, and they come together for this one week. So the kind of loyalty we have is just extraordinary. The volunteers, the staff members, the speakers, they've just been doing this year after year. We all know each other so well that I can't even begin to describe how easy that is to work through logistics and how much that contributes to the feel of the conference. We are like a family or like a summer camp for so many people, and I do not take that for granted for a moment.
I like the summer camp analogy. That's just awesome.
There's but going usually on swimming.
Yeah, there is usually swimming. Yes. Right. Going on that it's diverse, but it's, you know, it's still family oriented, or, you know, kind of feels like everybody's friends. What kind of people are attending the summit? I would like to hear your opinion, because I see there's a one common factor in his presentation, but a mass diversity. And then I have a follow up question to that. But, you know, Rick, how do you feel people attending? Where are they? You know, what kind of people are arriving at the summit?
Yeah, mass diversity is really the way to describe it. I mean, there is no vertical niche in business that I know of that has come up immune from death by PowerPoint. You know, you see bad presentations, bad slides, poor messages in just about every vertical vertical industry. Now, I don't want to take this so much from a negative perspective, but the point is that the people that come to the conference, they owe their livelihoods to communicating better in public. And as I identified earlier, there are just lots of issues around this and lots of ways where people will end up with whatever degrees they got in college and come out completely unprepared to do this. So I have not really yet found any any one vertical niche that I can say, oh yeah, that's the one for the summit. You know, we're so varied. We're Fortune 100, we're military, we're health and pharmaceutical.
I ended up making a business connection with an anesthesiologist. I ended up speaking to a group of them at a hospital.
So, Rick, here's my follow-up question. I think a common question for people attending or people considering it is the question is, you know, do I need to be an advanced user to attend?
Yeah, no way in the world do you have to be an advanced user. With three tracks of seminars and the Help Center, we're really going to be able to accommodate any level of user. And while I will say that perhaps the plurality of people call themselves advanced, we routinely get a couple dozen folks who are brand new. But the other part of this that's humorous is that those who originally identified themselves as advanced will come to the conference, their heads will explode, and they'll almost be sheepish when they come to us and say, you know, I identified myself as advanced, but really, I think I'm more like intermediate. Could you please change your database? And like, we're just tickled by this because we don't care at all. You know, we just ask to get some sort of an idea, but we help people redefine a little bit. You know, and the other thing happens also is that people come in and they say, wow, you know what? I knew more of this than I thought I was. I wasn't as intimidated as I thought I was going to be. You know, this is really cool. I can do this. And that's just, you know, that just warms our hearts when we hear stories like that.
So you touched upon a little bit the different design or the different tracks. Mm-hmm. You have three of them. Could you sort of go a little deeper into those?
Yes, I'll be happy to go deeper, but they're really not very deep. And there's a lot of overlap.
They're a little flexible.
Design, build, and deliver. So we have a track for anything that is sort of designy. And again, that's a nebulous term, and I like it that way. The build track is where the geeks go to learn about the software. And then the deliver track, you know, there's myriad forms of that these days, both electronic and in person. So there's a whole lot that encompasses there. There's a lot of overlap, and we're fine to have these tracks sort of, you know, spill into one another.
Well, and don't forget then, so there are the tracks, there are the after hours and unofficial activities.
Oh yeah.
That's like a track onto itself. Yeah.
Indeed. So fun. So fun. Like, okay, so there's a late night guru session. What else do we have at night? Oh, the entrepreneur session. Nolan, yep. Are you?
I'm doing that again. That is the Sunday night. Yep. And these late night sessions are they're unofficial, they're a little unstructured, they're just everybody gathers around with, you know, drinks from the bar they're
unstructured, they're a lot of fun. but I wouldn't say unofficial. You've been doing the Entrepreneurs Roundtable now for 7-8 years, and yeah, it's on the schedule and people look forward to it. And last year we had darn near 75 people show up for it.
Yeah, it's definitely been growing.
Wow.
And Monday's trivia contest, that's a not to be missed. That's about as official as it gets. We even have a sponsor for it.
Of course, then the dinner parties, dinners and lunches.
Well, on-site dinners that are done at the conference center as well as the off-site. I would count those as big a dinner party where there's all, is it one or two nights where we get to go out with folks, Rick, where, you know, we generally pick four or five different restaurants and everybody kind of does their groupings?
Yeah, that's on Monday. And then Tuesday, we generally have some sort of reception where we're all together. And, you know, my accountant will scratch his head over all of this, but I really just wouldn't have it any other way. We will teach people like crazy, but the quality about of the conference about which I am most proud is the community that has spawned around it, as evidenced by the fact that the three of you met at the conference, and I don't know, half the MVPs I think were discovered at the conference, and the fact that people come year after year and exchange big hugs when they see their friends, we didn't really have community before the conference. There were news groups, there were people that met online and traded emails, and there was Infocom, you know, the big tech show, and that was about it. So the fact that people now feel a kinship around this conference, is tremendously gratifying to me, and perhaps is really the sort of the secret sauce that fuels my enthusiasm to do this year after year.
You know, perhaps I should break in, because one thing we didn't do is we should say this is a 4-day conference. And this year for 2019, it is October 6th through the 9th are the official dates. So the 6th, hold on, I'm opening up a calendar. That's a Monday, right? October, September, Sunday. Okay, so that's the Sunday. We're actually flying in, I believe, on Friday because we're doing some stuff on Saturday. And Sunday's kind of a unique day because there's a lot of, you have some extra, how do I describe those, Rick? You have extra sessions that are additional fees.
Workshops, we call them crash courses.
And this year, there's actually more happening. There is, the Presentation Guild kind of needed a place that where everybody gathers. I think as everybody's heard, this is a pretty big gathering of folks in the presentation industry. Presentation Guild, I don't know your exact relationship, but I'll just say they've adopted the Presentation Summit as their annual meeting. But this year, the Presentation Guild is holding a certification prep workshop for everybody that's, you know, the presentation certifications are coming. We just had two episodes on the podcast here all about those. So it's really exciting. And I'm excited about these. But those are actually on Saturday, correct? So things are kind of kicking off even earlier this year because there's not room to put it into the schedule. Anybody in the presentation industry, I think if you want to take, as you heard in the last few episodes here, it's a big exam. There's a lot to it. And this, I'm pretty sure the boot camp will solve all trepidations. Can you give us a quick, you know, how did that come about? Did the presentation guild just say, hey, we'd like to do a boot camp, or did you recommend it? Or did you say, I'll give you meeting space? And how's this all coming together?
I can't remember whose idea it was initially, but it was sort of the Reese's peanut butter cup, because it just became obvious. Yes. that I, as a founding member of the guild, and as the summit being the you know, the singular experience on of the calendar year for presentation professionals, one that the guild has made quite an investment in, it was just a natural to do this. I have to say, I'm just so excited by it because it was really pretty risky to stage an all-day workshop, to charge an additional fee, and hope that people would be willing to come in earlier and make this investment in blood and treasure even earlier. Well, shoot, we already have 8 people signed up for it, and I would have been glad for 2 or 3 this first time through. So I'm so excited by that and gratified that we took this risk.
So really quick, Rick, you said there are 8 people signed up. I want to let everybody know we're actually recording this episode almost a month ahead of its release because of our travel schedules. Mm-hmm. So that 8 number should hopefully by the time we get there be doubled and tripled, because I think the boot camp's going to be a good thing for people to get through this certification. Sandy, did you want to kind of give us the official from the Presentation Guild announcement, and then we'll get back on track with the summit?
So the event that's taking place at the summit is a prep course, as Rick described it, as an all-day prep course. You will not come out of it being certified, but it will help you prepare to take the certification test, which will be available on October 1. So I want to welcome anyone. There's time yet to register, and anyone who wants to basically earn your stripes in the presentation profession, come in early, a couple days early for the conference, and Echo Swinford will show you the ropes.
As only she can.
And hanging out an extra day in October in San Antonio is not going to be a bad thing. It's like, from what I've been told, one of the better times of the year is to be out there. I've only been to San Antonio for conferences that I'm working, so I've actually never left the Riverwalk area. You know, there's the Marriott and a conference center, yeah, a convention center and everything. So I'm actually pretty excited to be out there for a number of days and have some fun.
And I have to tell you, Troy, we fully expected that we would be in the Riverwalk area when we went to see San Antonio. And I've only been to San Antonio 3 times, so only a couple times more than you. And I went right to the Riverwalk, looked at the hotels there, and then I journeyed about 15 minutes out of town to the hill country where I fell in love. and that's where this conference is going to be. We're going to take over a resort on a sprawling acreage that will be much more conducive to the communal feel that we have. We're going to take everybody to the Riverwalk Wednesday evening, the night that the conference ends. But my conclusion was that the Riverwalk is kind of like Disneyland. It's very difficult to travel in a pack. So we actually journeyed outside of town to a beautiful Hyatt Regency. And that's where we will spend the time. And then, like I said, we'll all head to the Riverwalk as a group the night that the conference ends.
The hotel has a lazy river, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It has its own river.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask you if I can do the entrepreneur session in inner tubes. we'll talk about that offline.
Nolan and Troy, you guys are both presenting, yeah, aren't you? You're speaking. You have a few sessions. Let's talk about those. And I do want to... Rick, I want you to talk about other presenters and headliners, but I want to hear from Nolan and
So as mentioned, Sunday night, we do the Entrepreneurs Roundtable. That's one of the late night sessions. Then I'm doing three other normal sessions. The first one is actually with a very, very old friend of mine who'll be coming to her first conference, Eileen Bergelson, who's a speech coach.
I recommended her.
She's really an amazing speech coach. So she and I are going to be doing a presentation called If I Only Knew, which is we're going to attack this from two different places, from the speaker and the designer, and basically what each person in the equation of a presentation needs to know from the other and needs to know about the other. So what designers need to know about speakers and what speakers need to know about designers and how to communicate better to get a better presentation.
That is a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
It could also be incredibly humorous depending on how you go about it, but or frustrating depending on who you are, but that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that because she and I have never presented together. I don't think I've ever co-presented at the conference.
Rarely do we actually have specific themes, but this year we kind of do, and it's collaboration. And so the session that Nolan just described is one of a few that are going to be team led. Mike Parkinson and I are going to attempt something similar. We're going to actually try to perform in a little play, where we're not going to say, thanks for coming, here's what this session's all about. It's going to be, you know, ready, action. And we're going to just role play the roles of presenter and content creator and the kinds of opportunities, challenges, and issues that they face.
Oh, if we only could have two presenters who are spontaneous. Anyway, listening, these two are the most spontaneous people on the planet.
Energetic, yeah.
But we might still fall on our face. We'll have to see.
Oh, but it'll be fun no matter what. I will definitely.
Absolutely.
So Nolan, you've got the you've got the Entrepreneurs Roundtable.
Yep.
If I Only Knew. Are you doing a third?
I'm doing two others. The third is Taking Stock of Stock Photos, which is just going to be all about stock imagery and how it's changed and resources and how it works. We're even going to touch on some legal aspects of it, answer a whole bunch of questions on using stock imagery. And then the last one is another one I'm really excited about, which is totally new for me. I haven't talked about inclusiveness by design. I'm going to talk about how to create presentations and how to include things in presentations and things to watch out for that include varying and diverse audiences that we're all speaking to now. So some of that, you know, some of it is going to be, being careful about gender issues and racial issues and other things. But also we're going to be talking about, you know, age issues and different types of audiences. Like, you know, if you're talking to a bunch of 20-year-olds, they might respond to different types of things on screen than your bunch of 40-year-olds. And we'll talk about, you know, how to make presentations more social, share worthy and things like that. In addition to sort of, accessibility issues, like how to use subtitles and things like that. So
when Nolan pitched that idea to us, it immediately resonated with me when he talked about the age issues and how you speak to 20-year-olds, because we routinely attract about three or four dozen millennials now. There are folks who were almost a third my age coming to this conference. That's pretty scary.
Yeah. And they do, you know, audiences have changed. And, you know, for us with kids, we know that they're, you know, attention spans are shorter. People are more visual and people want to share things. So, yeah. So.
That'll be a tough talk. Wow.
Yeah. I got some work to do this year in prep. What about you, Troy?
I am presenting twice. I've got two talks. I'm actually very excited about them. The first one is I'm doing Presenter View on Steroids. I believe Rick Altman, you helped me with that title, but I just wanted to do, here's Presenter View from kind of a professional standpoint. You know, here's how we use it at professional meetings and stuff. And I really, really am also hoping that eventually Presenter View gets some love from the Microsoft development team and it kind of gets an update because there are so many more. Today's presentation has evolved and the use of Presenter View really hasn't evolved. You know, there's just things to it that you can do. And a lot of it's hacks like, hey, if you understand what a teleprompter does, what their actual job is, we can help Presenter View do that for you. And there's some other tips and tricks along those lines. So I'm pretty excited about that session. It's going to be great because I use Presenter View quite a bit. And I will take note to say on the record, going back 5 years ago, I hated Presenter View. I never used it. I only used mirrored output. There was just too many problems with performance and Presenter View itself. There was an upgrade to performance. It does work. I use it virtually every single meeting. And there are a lot of things I would prefer to talk about or have it encompass. And I may be asking at this session for a list of other ideas to propose to Microsoft. So there's that. My other one I'm doing is called Really Big. And I'm really excited about this. It's how to design PowerPoint for really big screens. You know, there's a lot of math involved. If you're given a project that says, hey, we've got a 20-foot wide by 6-foot high screen. Okay, that's not a normal aspect ratio. That's pretty good. You just got to figure out the math, this and that. But the sizing, it's about the same as a standard conference, 16x9, you know, slideshow that's going up on a screen. You know, you can think about that. But when they suddenly say, hey, we're doing a 184-foot wide by 32-foot high LED wall. It's one of the largest in the world. This and that. You got to start thinking through not only math, you got to start thinking through performance. You got to start thinking through some hardware. You also have to start thinking through, I don't really want the words to be as big as they normally would be because it looks like they're going to fall over and crush the poor presenter on the stage. So you got to start thinking of some things about this. So I do have a full session. It's very technical oriented. I'm going to walk through all the steps of how to take any aspect ratio, any size, and you know, create a template, and then lots of tips about design. And then I think I can tout the third one, if you don't mind. Lori, my incredible business partner and my beautiful wife, is doing another session. She presented last year, took a little bit of time, maybe a few dozen years, to convince her to that she should be doing this.
And she killed it.
It was awesome for me because it was a great session. It really, really was. This year, to your theme, Rick, which I'm wondering if I did not realize there was a theme going here. She's doing collaborating in design. So she's doing, as presentation designers, you know, we collaborate with many people, and it kind of is tandem to your talk, Nolan, where she's talking more from the designer perspective. Hey, here's what we need to be aware of to make sure they get what they need because we can't just supply it. So she has a great one called Collaborating in Design, and I'm really excited about that, and she's taking it really seriously.
And so is she. When I put out the call and I introduced the theme, she must have responded in 5 minutes. Here's the credit that I'll take in all of this. I'm pretty good at playing to people's strengths. And so, you know, to go back to Troy's sessions, I don't think there's anybody on the planet Earth who knows about formatting presentations for large venues and large screens like Troy. And he used the word hack in describing his other session. We are nothing if not a conference about hacking the software. You know, as forward thinking as Microsoft is, PowerPoint has a lot of areas that are just really old. And the only way to get around them is to break the rules. And I think the conference is famous for teaching people how to break rules effectively. And speaking of playing to people's strengths, if I could be the segue here, Sandy is just the maestro. Is that a non-gender noun? I think it is. The maestro of the help center. She gives the heart and soul to the room that we set up in our main ballroom that is just full of computers and experts like her. And the mission is to say, how may I help you? To anybody who walks in and take any question that they have. I think it is not hyperbole to say that the help center with Sandy at the helm is the finest technical support you will find for PowerPoint anywhere in the world.
Thank you.
Oh, such humbleness there. Thank you. I think the help center actually becomes mini sessions because people bring in, I mean, the thing about presentation is there's no set course for what can be done or how things should be done. So I think we've seen, I mean, I've been a part where I've been called over, hey, Troy, what would you do for this? And I'll go to a different path and we'll end up like a mini session going with five different ways of approaching somebody's, hey, how should I do this?
Yes. Right.
And that's some of the best learning around. It's also not a small area. This is not like this isn't like the Apple Genius Bar. Hey, we have a counter and you can come up and talk to this one person. I mean, you've got Steve Rinsberg, you've got Sandy, you got Gitesh. You've got a number of people there, including patrons will hang out. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're talking about genius at work. And there's, I mean, your table, you've got what, 20 computers there at least, plus everybody bringing their own?
Not quite 20, but enough.
There's room for 20 different people to be working, I'm pretty sure.
500 square feet right in the main ballroom. So when people come to the main ballroom to hang out, you know, we have like sofa chairs and things that they're also for people to be comfortable. The help center is right there. So people treat it like a hangout. I mean, even if they don't have a question that they want to ask, they'll just go hang out and listen to the conversations. So it's really integral to the whole conference experience. And if I can share just a little bit of historical trivia, these days, as Troy said, people bring their problems with them. You know, today they do this with a flash drive or maybe just a Dropbox folder that is shared. Well, that wasn't the case when we started out before flash drives existed and cloud storage was some unknown concept. One woman FedExed her desktop computer to the help center.
No.
Set it up in the room so Steve Rinsberg could help her with an issue that she had with slides that were not displaying properly. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
That's phenomenal.
Basically, if you leave the conference without getting a question answered or a problem fixed, you haven't asked it. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Or you didn't overhear one and go, that's a mate, like Sandy's first 10-minute story. Everybody learns something. It's a great community.
I mean, I'll say this to people listening who are going, because this is the kind of thing that I say in my corporate trainings. I first of all say, you know, I don't want you leaving here without any question, you know, being answered. So even if it's off topic to what we're talking about, ask me. But the other thing I say is, if you're doing something in PowerPoint and it is taking you a long time and you think that there's got to be a better way, but you don't know, maybe it's just the way it is, ask the question, because either we will give you a better solution, we'll turn you on to a better way of doing it, or we'll confirm that that's the best way to do it and that's just the way Microsoft is, which is comforting as well, right? So you know that you're not the only one. So yes, if you have something that you know, if you don't think it's a problem, but it's frustrating, ask it anyway, and you'll.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Microsoft, who does have a presence there, they attend.
It's not officially connected with Microsoft, right, Rick?
Correct. They're a partner. They're a sponsor. They sponsor one of the events, the Sunday evening reception, and we are happy to extend many invitations. 7 or 8 people typically come from Microsoft every year. They realize the value of 200 of their most impassioned users all being under one roof for 4 days.
For example, back to the help center, one of our patrons was having trouble with custom shows on the iPad. We were able to demonstrate the issue to Microsoft product group members, and they went back and took care of it. It was pretty amazing.
You know, I'm going to throw one more. We talked about the sessions we're running, this and that. There's one other we should talk about, and this is completely unofficial from you, Rick, but we are doing a number of podcast recordings there because we do have such a gathering of people. So Nolan, Sandy, myself, Lori, and several other people hopefully listening in, they're going to join us. I think we're going to record probably like 6 different conversations there. And as well as we're kind of planning to take a portable recorder out and ask some questions and string that into an episode on a specific topic we've been brainstorming. So there is.
And this is not the first time you've done this, right? I mean, you get a suite there and you pretty much set up a recording studio up in your hotel room, don't you?
Yeah. We're going to take advantage of that. I got to claim it as a business expense somehow. But we do have a pretty nice setup that we bring out with us. And a couple of years back, Rick actually let us make use of a full conference room, like literally a conference room on the agenda. And we did a group one, which was our first live event. It went good. It went good. Rick was a part of that one as well. I think we would do it a little differently now that I've had a little more experience with some software and hardware. But yeah, we're just doing a bunch of sessions. So we're using this as a gathering point. So much of 2020 will be based on this event. Hey, one other topic, Rick, that we didn't touch on. And this is a big deal for me because I actually met a number of vendors through this, but you have an expo day full of outside vendors. I mean, it's just one day. I mean, a lot of vendors there, but you have one day where they get to set up, show their wares, meet introductions. And this is really good for people in the industry because you're not talking to generally just a salesperson. A lot of times it's like an engineer, a top level person. Microsoft has a booth there, as a matter of fact, but tell us about the expo day because I think it's a really great thing.
As you mentioned earlier, because it's a small conference, you pretty much can meet everybody who attends. And the vendors, they don't need 3 days to peddle their wares. We set up one day for them to set up a small booth, and we do it right in the room that we call Conference Central, the main ballroom. So they are integrated into all the activities. And we invite them as our guests for the rest of the time. Most of them stay or come in on Sunday and Monday, stay through Wednesday, and they get into the whole spirit of things because A, they enjoy it, and B, they realize that networking with these folks is what they came for. But one day they set up. We just do a small exhibit. There's anywhere between 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range. So it's not overwhelming. I don't want anybody to think that this is a trade show or anything like that. And the patrons realize that in one day, they will get to browse all of the services and technology and gear that these folks are showcasing. And in one day, those folks doing all the showcasing are going to pretty much be able to get in the face of everybody at the conference. So it is not by any means overwhelming. It takes place on the Tuesday of the conference, and it's just integrated in a smooth way, so people can stay abreast on the latest in technology and gear and toys, etc.
Yeah, a lot of great demos and stuff. The expo to me is a really cool thing because I don't do, going back to what you said, the infocoms where you used to get all these big companies. It was hard to get attention at that big of a venue. This one's good.
That's right.
Just another niche, between the help center and the expo day and then all the presentations and networking, phenomenal event. Any last things, anybody? Am I missing anything? Have we?
Any other presenters, Rick, that you want to bring up?
Yeah, okay. We're bringing Cliff Atkinson back this year. This will be his third time. He is the author of the iconic book, Beyond Bullet Points. He may be the first one to have really sort of grabbed the industry by its collective shoulders and said, you can't just keep creating these ugly bullet slides. His book is in its fourth edition now. He will kick us off Monday morning. We also have a couple of local folks. I generally look for local talent when I can. I found Christopher Fairbank, who is a ballet dancer turned cop turned motivational speaker. And he'll speak Tuesday morning. And then Wednesday morning, the woman who might be responsible for the ban on plastic straws, a marine biologist who's getting her doctorate in Texas. And she shot this video where she rescued a sea turtle that had a plastic straw stuck up its snout. And this video went totally viral. We're talking 20, 30 million views. And now she is on a crusade. And this all came about kind of by accident. She is the accidental storyteller. That's how we are billing her for Wednesday morning. So we've got some wonderful keynotes.
What's her name? I didn't catch her name.
Christine Figener. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's German. And she's a delightful young woman.
Rick, I can put a link in the show notes to the conference agenda. That's online now, correct?
Yes. Presentationsummit.com is really all people have to know to get to all the information that we offer.
Okay. That'll definitely be in the show notes. And I know it has a breakdown of presenters, little bios, little takeaways, as well as a listing of what events are there, which probably, maybe we should let you address this one now up front. Probably one of the hardest things about going to this conference. We said there are three tracks. There are design. There's design, delivery. What am I missing? Oh, build. Design, build, and delivery. But each track has a session simultaneously occurring. So it's the hardest decision of the week of every day is what do I do during this 2 hours? And what do I do during this? Because there's three great events happening simultaneously.
We're statists.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that by plan or what?
Yeah, no, we like torturing people that way. I mean, can you think of a better criticism than people said, I just didn't know which one to attend. They all sounded good. Why did you do this to me? And we assuage their pain a little bit. And I think this might be unique, or at least we were the first to do this by taking people's votes and repeating a few sessions at the end of the day on Wednesday. So if people missed a session, they could actually vote on it and it might get done again.
Which I think is a great thing because in particular last year, I did not get the opportunity to see Tom Howell's animation session and doing tons of animation and storytelling through motion graphics. I was incredibly intrigued by it, but he was talking, I believe, at the same time as my wife. So there was a little bit of a personal quandary and professional quandary. So I voted for him and it gave me an opportunity to see a session that I did not have the opportunity to do. And there's also I'm going to go out on a limb here, for attendees, is there the opportunity to watch the recordings after the meeting this year as well?
Almost certainly, yes. We opened up that Pandora's box 2 or 3 years ago when people saw that there were video cams in each room. And I must have been asked 100 times that week, will we be able to watch the recordings? And so we can't unring that bell. So yes, we record all the sessions and I take the requisite 350 hours or so to clean those up and get them online. We do not sell a conference in a box. We do not sell a virtual version of this conference. I have pretty much staked my entire livelihood on the premise that there is absolutely no substitute for face-to-face interaction. And I believe that the alternative is so distant in terms of value that I don't even want to entertain it. But for those who attended the conference and want a refresher on one of the sessions or to see something they missed, yes, we make those available for educational, non-commercial purposes.
Fantastic. Not that I was putting you on the spot, but I think it's a great inclusion. No matter what the level, it's always great because there's something that you can't see because of timing conflicts and this and that. Nolan, would you say that this is one of the few, because you go to a number of conferences as I do, and I'm at conferences all the time working them, but there are lots of times where people are just out in the hallway talking because they don't have an interest in the session going on. And I don't see that happening here as much because there's three sessions. So everybody has an interest in something. Is that kind of a feeling you get?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good thing.
There's always something going on. And I,
But we want people schmoozing. And so we do long breaks in between sessions, and we do an hour and a half at lunch and all the evening stuff, because some people come just for the schmooze.
No, that's true. Yeah. I mean, outside, there's still a lot of time outside the sessions with, as we've said, the dinners, the breaks, Rick, the parties. There's plenty of time.
All right, ending this episode, it's basically to say October 6th to 9th, 2019, San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the presentation industry and you can be one of the 200 people to get registered for this event, be there. Nolan, Sandy, myself, and dozens of others, we're all going to be there. Look forward to saying hi and hello, and it's going to be great. Thank you, Rick Altman, for spending an hour with us. We look forward to seeing you in October because you put on a great party. Oh, wait, I mean conference. Yeah. You do good stuff. Everybody listening in, thanks for joining us again. And we thoroughly enjoy putting on a podcast all about presentation industry stuff. Stand by. We've got a few pro and tech tips coming up. And thank you.
All right, I've got a couple tips into a little linear story here. I have an anti-tip, which is Netgear's customer service. I tried to get one of their Wi-Fi extenders. I'm not going to go to the whole story, but 5 or 6 hours later, two different units, I finally got an answer that the product simply doesn't do what they had been telling me all along it could do. So I'm done with Netgear right now. I'm trying out Google Mesh, and we'll come back to that. But a good customer experience was Microsoft. I have a Surface Laptop 2, which I put in my bag, take out all the time. I took it out the other day, and the screen was cracked, just completely cracked. So I took it in. It's still under warranty. $50 later, the crack was clearly my fault. $50 later, I had a brand new computer and took it into the store, and they transferred all my info. It was a great experience. And then the last tip is the Moco Felt laptop case, which I immediately went out and bought for my laptop because I wasn't using a case for it, which is, I guess, how I cracked the screen. So $16. It's a really nice, incredibly simple felt sleeve, essentially, for the laptop that I like a lot. So there you go. We'll put a link in the notes for it.
Well, I have a few, too. So first is an on-site asset resource site. It's called Creative Market. Are you familiar with it at all?
I've heard of it, but tell me more.
I love it. It's assets. You can get custom fonts, graphics, themes, templates for Google Slides, PowerPoint. It's just a really inspiring, nicely done resource for any kind of inspiration or assets that you would want.
Nice.
The next is a great customer service story with Samsung, of really? All places. I went into Costco without my shopping list, and my phone was dead, and that's where the shopping list was. So
that's dangerous.
It is. I walked up to the Samsung counter, and I asked if I could charge my phone for just a couple seconds to get my list. It happened that the Samsung actual rep was there, not just the Costco person. And he ended up giving me a charger and connection and let me walk away with it for free. It was just really cool. So a Samsung charger. It was a great experience. And then finally, Minnesota has come into the 21st century and made it illegal to drive with your phone in your hands. And I've always had a mount on my car, but I thought I'd get something a little bit nicer.
Now, by a mount, do you mean like a moose of 8-point?
Yes, I was getting there, smarty pants.
I'm from the Midwest originally. Come on.
Funny. No, it's a magnetic phone car mount that sits high. It allows me to adjust it. It has a telescopic arm, 6 magnets. It hasn't fallen off my dash yet. That was my main concern. In Minnesota, we have 30 below, and we have 115 degrees above. And that wreaks havoc with suction cups on telephone mounts. And so far, it's awesome. So it's called, by the way, I have a link. It's called, it's Whiz Gear.
Fantastic. Okay, so I have this week for Pro and Tech Tips, I actually have a sneak peek. Seeing how we've kind of revealed a lot of things about the summit, I don't know if anybody here knows about this, but I have advanced notice of one. Jamie Garrock of U-Tools, one of our favorite guys in the world, he joined the Bright Carbon team as an in-house developer. And I hope I'm saying that right. All I know is that he's working with Bright Carbon. And I got an email from him last week. And I've been given some inside intel on what's going to happen at the presentation summit. Based on reading this amazing set of specs, they are releasing a new PowerPoint add-in. It is set to release at the 2019 Presentation Summit. If you're in attendance, you get to be one of the first people to get it. So I actually don't know what the name of it is. It's going to encompass a lot of the U-Tools add-ins. And Bright Carbon's design team said, here's what we would like to, you know, what we need is an in-house design team working on amazing presentations for everything. So there is a new Super PowerPoint add-in coming soon, as in October 6th at the Presentation Summit. You guys know about this?
Wow. This is the first time hearing of this.
It's really, really, I mean, I've read the spec sheet. Now, I've worked with Jamie back and forth on a lot of his current add-ins, and I've given ideas, and this thing is amazing. I basically gave him a wish list probably a year or so ago, like, here's an add-in I used to use. It doesn't exist anymore. It was phenomenal. It costed a lot of money, and I'm okay with that part because it did amazing things, and it's like, things like the animation pane may be revolutionized with this add-in. So very exciting sneak peek. And hopefully it all comes to fruition, but I'm, you know, as far as being the October date, but they said that's when he's going to release it. So
they've gone public with that in social media. They haven't described it in any sort of detail, only that there's a great add-in coming.
There is. I read a 22-page PDF about it. They are very organized. Hey, Rick, please give us a pro or tech tip from you. This will be a great way to round things out.
I'm honored to be to join the three of you on this because I listen every episode with rapt attention. I especially liked the episode where you devoted an entire hour to all of this, and I learned like what spit guards each of you recommend for your microphones. I loved it. So having heard so many of your pro and tech tips, I thought I would try to come up with one that was original. This would be out of the delivery track at the conference. My pro tip for people would be to learn how to laugh, because that is actually a very important skill that you can learn as a presenter when you're speaking in front of a group. You know, you've heard, you know, start your presentation with a joke, you know, to loosen up the audience. Well, I think the risk is way too high there, because if the joke isn't funny, then now you're at a deficit. Now you're just, you know, you've sort of bombed in front of everybody. But instead of making your audience laugh, make yourself laugh, because that uses really good muscles deep from the diaphragm, and it slows you down. And it's a skill. You can learn how to laugh while you speak. And practicing that is really quite helpful. And if you decided you wanted to start your talk with some story that is funny to you, it doesn't matter if your audience laughs along with you. They probably will, or they'll smile or whatever. But laughing is a wonderful way to expend all that excess energy that's coursing through your body when, you know, you're up in front of an audience. And it's a skill that you can learn. So learn how to laugh, everybody.
Nice.
This is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services Professional Design Agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com, the PowerPointblog.com. Tons and tons of great posts have been going there, several per week. And facebook.com/TLC Creative Services for just all kinds of random behind the scenes stuff.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of free downloads and goodies. And if you're interested in on-site presentation or data visualization training, drop me a line.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as PPT Wiz.
And this is Rick Altman with the Presentation Summit. Thanks to the crew for letting me join in this week. And I look forward to seeing everybody in San Antonio first week of October, presentationsummit.com.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.